And earn rewards for your stays when you join the Choice Privileges program. Visit choicehotels.com for reservations and details.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm afraid this rover.
Sometimes men take matters into their own hands.
FM.
Oh, wait, no, that's
later. Sorry. My timing is
off.
Wrong part of the show.
I'm all messed up today.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
I'm nervous.
Why?
I'm even more nervous than I normally am. Well, it's a big, tomorrow's an anniversary.
Oh.
And I everything's running through my head. Will I have enough stamina? Because...
Do you have condoms?
Beyond, you've been married how long?
5 years.
All right, you've been married long enough to see how it builds. Their need for sex.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, it
and you think when you
intensifies.
First get, you think when you first get married, oh, well... She'll
get bored with this after a while.
She'll get to a point where she doesn't need it as much, and then you realize they want more and more and more. So you can imagine.
The hunger.
After all these years.
You're not finished yet.
Oh yeah. You think you're getting back here.
No.
So I hope, a lot of things I'm worried about. Will I be able to keep up? Will I have a heart attack? Will the people next door complain about the noise? Because we're actually, you know, going somewhere to spend the night. I've never stayed in town before. But we're going to this concert, and so it'll be really late when we get home. So I thought, well, let's just – I thought I was doing something real romantic.
Hey.
Yeah.
Because I've never done the in-town stay thing. So I got somebody at the house because I'm real weird about that. After the pipe burst, I don't like for the house to never have nobody in. When there's nobody in the house, that's when something happens. So if you're ever that happening, basement floods, you'll be so paranoid about it. So that's why I sound a combination of giddy, happy, nervous, frightened. It's
worried.
All worried. Welcome to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. It's 4th of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day. I'll probably do that.
No, that was yesterday.
That's right. That's the Bobby Gentry song. I want to say hi to Rebecca again. I hope she's listening. I got the nicest. That's the cheese lady.
Oh, yeah.
She brought us the cheese. That's right, Red Boy. How was yours? Did you taste it yet?
Yes, absolutely.
I did, too.
You know what? I heated the brie in a microwave because my wife said brie is supposed to be served warm.
Oh.
I heated it like melted marshmallows or something, but with a cheese flavor. So thank you, Rebecca. Does anybody have anything to say? I have a lot to talk about today, so I'll let you guys go or we'll never get it in.
I do. I have one quick thing.
All right. This is Eon the Peon. Take it away.
Thank you You're very welcome. I know we talked about this, I want to say maybe a couple months ago, and I don't remember that day if we came up with a definitive answer for the question, but the question was, why do public toilet seats have the notch
we did talk
taken
about
out of
that.
It? And I don't know if anybody ever gave us the
answer.
Yeah, we did, and I can't remember what it was.
It was,
You don't either. You don't remember it either.
Wait, I'm trying to.
I love the way Dan did it. Oh, yeah. Oh,
no,
yeah. And it was.
I do. Now I'm trying to remember. Now I had it for a second.
But everybody knows what we're talking about. It looks like a horseshoe.
Yes.
The front
of the sitting lid has a notch in it.
It's more sanitary. And if a guy goes up and doesn't lift the lid, chances are it's not going to get lid.
That was not the reason.
Well, I don't
know.
That's
not the entire reason.
I think we had somebody say it was something hygiene related. But this answer I saw today, I think, makes more sense.
It is hygiene related because I just looked it up. I just found it.
Really?
The notched toilet seat, I'm reading it right here, was an accident. It was not ever supposed to have been created. There was a guy named Gene McLemore, and he was working on a new and improved toilet seat. And in the middle of his work, he was distracted when a guy went by and said, "Hi, Gene." And he never finished the toilet seat, and it had a notch in it. And somebody came to pick it up thinking that's the way it was supposed to be. Oh, that's a true story.
Wow. Yeah,
so it is hygiene.
That's wild. It is hygiene related. Oh, my goodness.
Just found it.
I'm more apt to go with this answer, though. This answer I found online today. It's actually a material science thing. I think this is an engineer who explains this. He says circular-shaped objects are more rigid because of their form, because it's a constant piece of plastic. So it's more rigid. It's more not as flexible and more apt to
break or something.
Okay. So it's really just a cost measure. With the U-shaped toilet seat, there's some flexibility. Each leg of the horseshoe can independently move on its own. So
I don't buy that.
You don't buy that?
No, as the reason, no. Because if you made it out of a material that won't break, you don't need the horseshoe notch.
Well, no,
How many toilet seats have ever broken under stress?
Oh, I think a lot do, especially in public places.
Don't think about this. Real heavy people.
Exactly.
Now, now it makes sense. If a 400-pounder plops down on there, then you might have a
the U-shaped seat has some give to it. So that's what the answer I think I'm going with. It's actually just a cost thing. It's about saving money, whereas the U-shaped seat will last a lot longer than the circular O-shaped seat, because
the other thing would be if a guy had a huge package,
right?
You can't tuck it down in there. You get that notch in there. You got a little extra room.
You just lay it right on top there in the lip.
Hey, did you ever sit down and forget that the lid, the seating part was up?
Yes.
That is the weird.
Feeling that plastic. I don't know.
You're sitting
on the seat's not
on
down.
The actual bowl.
Yes.
No, I've never done
it. It feels like you're about to fall in the.
Oh, I bet you are about to fall in universe. Because that lip is real thin.
And as soon as you touch it, whoa, you launch right back like a shot out of a cannon. That's a weird feeling.
I don't see many of these anymore, but I don't like the ones that they're almost like a padded seat where you
like
sit on it
either.
And like and the air escapes.
Yeah. I don't like that.
And it has that vinyl feel to it. It needs to be that.
And those never were popular. There was a, for a while, it was a fad.
Is that vinyl?
And like the seats that had pennies in them.
Yes.
Acrylic. Yeah. And then that didn't go over
pretty much
well.
Just the standard white seat now.
And it sounds good. It's cushioned. That sounds like a good idea.
But it's weird.
Well, it feels like you're sitting in your own doo-doo. That's the problem.
Well, I don't know about that. But then it was that vinyl feel, too. And then it would kind of adhere to you. And when you get up, it would kind of – it's not a clean break like the plastic would be.
I'm on a mission, and it just happened. It just hit me. I have to make sure the word doo-doo survives. We don't hear that. And when I was a kid, that was the word, doo-doo.
Yeah.
It's a great word.
One word or two?
We're not talking about poop. We're talking about doo-doo. And doo-doo is kind of cute. Doo-doo. Yeah, it's kind of a cute thing.
Doo-doo head, doo-doo face.
Yeah.
You have to go doo-doo or something. Yeah. Like to ask a little
and
kid.
And it's not nearly as offensive sounding. You know, like you said, hey, doo-doo head.
Right.
It's almost cute.
Yeah, it is.
Same
it's
exact
playful.
Thing. It's just a different way to put it. So we can't let that die.
No.
Doo-doo. When I was a kid, it was tinkle and doo-doo. You have to tinkle and you have to doo-doo.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you have?
That was it. That was all I had.
Dan, anything?
No, nothing.
Way to go, Dan.
Oh, I know. I do. I do have something.
The door almost closed.
Your hand caught in there.
Wow. I went yesterday, or last night, went to see Peon and Colin play softball.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Man. I was in the stands.
It was quite a show, wasn't it?
It was.
Which proves Colin was not sick the other day. Because if you'd really been sick, you couldn't play softball 2 days later.
Oh, he was that's faithful. Right.
Fast recovery.
That would have been a miraculous.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a fast recovery. But
so what was your take?
Yeah, what is your take? I'd like to hear.
My take, we only stayed for one game. They played a doubleheader. And they won.
Who? You and your wife?
They won the first game. No, my girlfriend Sandy.
Yeah, I got to meet the lovely Sandy, Dan's girlfriend.
Yeah,
very nice.
But we stayed for the first game, and you guys were when we left, I think it was the game was just about over. It was
we
12.
Won pretty handily the first
Is
game.
Is there an interesting story
like,
here?
No, no, like 12-5. But I was waiting for Peon to do one of his, because he's like goes all out and goes crazy. He dives
at first.
But yeah, but he rounded.
If you would have stayed for the second game, you would have seen the.
Oh really?
You would have seen that. Yes.
Oh, he did round third and he scored a run and came to the bench going.
Oh yeah. you can look at me and tell I'm not in the greatest of
well,
shape.
You're in your late 30s.
Yes, that's very scary to think about, but yes.
I wanted to talk about this, and you know about this guy. I just found out about this guy yesterday. He's 80 years old. He walks around the park, and he picks up aluminum cans.
The Can Man.
What park?
The St. Ferdinand,
Can Man.
The
yes.
Can Man.
He's called the Can Man. He goes, he runs around, and he picks up all these cans, and he's, with the money over the years, he has donated paid for the fences at the park.
Wow.
Put in a new drainage system in the park.
That's a lot of cans.
$80,000, I think. Over
yeah,
the
that
years
is a lot of cans.
And,
yeah. Did you ever take cans recycling?
Oh, sure.
How much you get for them?
Yeah, $14. Yeah.
No, here's a giant trash bag, the industrial sized trash bag, full of crushed cans. Thank you. Here's $2.75.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not much.
But no, this, it's a great story.
Yeah, and he's done. He did the fences, he did the drainage, and he has replaced lights on the field. And
yeah, from what I hear, he was just a big softball player back when he was younger, and he got tired of going to the watching other people play and them being rained out because, you know, I don't know if the city of Florissant didn't have enough money to put in all these things at the field, so he just went out on his own and did
it. Good for him.
Yeah.
He called City Hall and said, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to pay for. And so they went and put the stuff in. And
I've never talked about this because I'm modest, but when I was a kid, and maybe Dan is old enough, bottles were 2 cents.
Yes.
Deposit on the bottle.
I remember that.
And I would take a wagon, just a regular little kid's wagon, and people used to throw their, this is hard to imagine, people used to throw their bottles and cans right out the car window.
Yeah.
They'd just drive along and toss them out, and it was not against the law. There was no littering law. I'd pick these bottles up, and I'd take them down to Mr. Pickett and at Pickett's Grocery, and he'd give me 2 cents a bottle. And I did that till I was 15 years old, and with the money that I got, I built a hospital.
Really?
Yeah.
You built a hospital?
He never talked about it. A pediatric
Named
hospital.
It Barnes Jewish?
No, I just named it Baptist Hospital.
Oh.
It's down,
where is it?
Down in Tennessee.
Down in Tennessee?
Yeah, and I've never talked about it because it sounds like you're bragging.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you're a modest person.
Saved a lot of children down there. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
But I was talking to a guy from another team, and he knows the guy, and they actually put on a charity game for this guy, too, to help raise more money for him. And he doesn't want any recognition.
Well, way to go. You
yeah,
just put
you
it
just
on the air.
Ruined
I know.
Oh, he said, way to respect his
put him on blast.
They want to try and get some sort of statue for this guy and put it up.
He doesn't want that.
Around
no,
the
doesn't.
Ball fields
yeah,
and
no.
stuff.
The
yeah,
guy he's... makes it clear he wants no recognition.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is we'll get you a statue.
Yeah, I know.
At least honor his request.
Yeah.
Right. But it was very cool, yeah. I didn't know. I knew some about him, but yeah, one of the other guys was talking more about him, and he donates 85% of his can money to the fields, and the other 15% he uses to go fishing.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And good for you guys for not respecting his wishes of no publicity. He's talked about it for 15
Well, I don't
minutes.
Know his name. I just know he's 80 years old, and they call him the Can Man.
Is that it?
I thought it was cool. Yeah.
Let's shut her down. Close it up. Wrap it up. Burt segment's officially closed. All right, here's the drill. It's talent show day. The talent show is called The Call. Get it? Like The Voice. If you have a talent that's audible, we'd love to hear from you. And we'll do that off and on today. You can call about anything else. And then we're also going to have Colin Jeffrey, because he was sick on Tuesday. But, boy, well enough to play, the next day, well enough to play softball. That's like a miracle. So he's going to have some entertainment stuff for us. And before we break, I watched by accident almost all of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremony to induct, I don't know, a few people, I remember who some of them were, in Cleveland last night, and I was all ready to just dump it after about 10 minutes, but ended up watching the whole thing, and except for a couple of artists I'm really not Joan Jett, I'm not real familiar right. with, and that kind of
I
stuff.
I love rock and roll.
Yeah,
that's it. And outside of that, I don't know what she did, but it was really, really entertaining.
Who was the best performance?
Well, the best performance was oddly enough Green Day, and I don't know much about, but they were inducted, and I didn't know anything about them. Oh, and that's one of the great things about watching these. They'll do a whole little mini documentary bio on who they are, how they got started. And I have to tell you, I never would have expected to think, you know what? These guys.
The music's probably not really.
But some of it is.
Did you recognize?
No, they do a lot of different things.
Yes, I did, because when my younger son was in high school, there was a lot of Green Day out there. But here's the thing I walk away from, because we talked about this. We had just talked about this. Ringo Starr was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall. Now, come on.
I thought he was already in.
The Beatles are in, and Paul McCartney's in separately. But really, Ringo Starr alone is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't think so.
I think
here's what
Octopus's Garden. That's a pretty good song.
All I have is a photograph, and he can't sing.
No, oh, and the way he has no stage
sense of rhythm
presence.
When he's on stage, it looks like he's awkward.
He's awkward.
Yes,
I know.
Very awkward as the front man.
All right, now here's the other thing.
That's odd for a drummer.
They had several drummers get up and talk about Ringo was their inspiration. Am I wrong, or?
He's not that great of a drummer.
Thank you.
I don't think the drumming in a lot of those songs was that complex or anything. It was very standard.
I've heard from musicians over the years is they go, Ringo Starr is the luckiest drummer in the world because he was with the Beatles as a drummer. But last night, you'd have thought he was Buddy Rich.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness.
I think just being part of the Beatles will get you.
But that's enough. They're in the Hall of Fame. I don't think Ringo should be in the, I think Paul McCartney should be alone, singularly, in the Hall of Fame. But I found that very interesting, and it was fun to watch other drummers. What's his name was there from Bruce Springsteen's drummer. The guy that always wears a suit. What's his name?
I can't think of his name.
He was there, and he got up and played. And they had on the stage, well, in the footage they showed, they had one or two of these drummers sit at the actual drums that had the Beatles written on the. I mean, those should be in the Smithsonian.
Cool. Yes. Yeah.
So Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was...
Do you think Ringo Starr has hundreds of millions of dollars? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yes, he was never on any of the songwriting.
But here's what we forget about with these people. Who knows how many products he's endorsed over in England, okay?
I saw him doing a Skechers commercial the other day.
Okay,
there you go. But why would he do that if he has... hundreds of millions of dollars.
Because if somebody Ringo says, here's another $10 million, you'll do it. That's like saying, why would Tiger Woods take on a watch company or Buick when he has Nike? You don't walk
away. It just
seemed
weird seeing Ringo
Well, these people also make
sneakers.
A lot of money overseas. And Ringo, they did a lot of Channel 9 stuff. Didn't he do some kids programming?
I don't know. I think so. They did some stuff. But I think Ringo, and even Paul, but not so much Paul, but Ringo now is grabbing as much stardom and as much notoriety as he can, because he knows he's got, 10 years left, maybe 10 or 15 years tops. Because he's 70, right?
Yeah, at least. He also, the All-Star Band, he toured many, many dates with the All-Star Band. That had to bring in some big cash.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they sold out.
Oh, he's got stuff. I'm sure he wrote some of the stuff for the, that he did. I don't know. Photograph is
the other
song
fun fact is when it was over, I watched the credits, and the first thing that pops up, executive producer of that entire broadcast, who do you think it was?
Not Ryan Seacrest.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks is into everything.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's into everything.
I would have never guessed that.
He was the executive producer. And the musical director for the entire concert, and this makes sense, Paul Schaefer.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Schaefer, to me,
yeah,
is a musical genius. Now, not a guy who had his own hits, not a name that, I don't know if he's a songwriter, but as a conductor and arranger, I think Schaefer is
Wasn't he in the Blues Brothers movie, the first one, Paul Schaefer?
I think he was. Yeah. I think he was. All right, we take a quick break. We come back and see the phones are lit up. Dan's going to put your name on the screen. We'd love to take your calls for the show, the talent show, or anything else. We should have, flip that screen around here so I can see. We're supposed to have Johnny Londoff on the phone, but I don't see him. Which means the guy who was supposed
Dan was involved with
the guy who was supposed to call him, Dan Strauss, didn't know what he was supposed to do. He should have him on.
Hold on.
Oh,
he hasn't even.
Can we talk to the person on line one there?
Yeah, I'll talk to the person on line one while Dan.
That's Gary.
Gary, how are you?
AM in the PM.
Thank you, Gary. Gary, are you calling for the talent show or for something else?
No, I'm calling to tell you about Ringo. We just went and seen him at the Fox at his all-star band with Todd Rundgren and the guy from Toto, and he played drums for it. He was great.
Okay, are you a drummer?
No.
I'm not either. You think he's great. I thought he was great. But if you talk to musicians, unless they're on an award show where they're supposed to praise him, they say he's a mediocre drummer. He's not bad, but he's not great. But to us, to you and me, it's sort of like most of the people I see perform, I don't know if they miss a note. I don't know what a good drummer is supposed to do. But I've seen that all-star concert on television, and it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it. There goes Gary, and now here comes John Londoff. Hello, John. How are you?
Hello, Frank. How are you?
I'm having a great day, man.
Oh, man. I tell you what. You should be. You should have a camera videoing the program, just like McGraw does.
No.
Don't you want to be? Don't you want to be like McGraw and be on TV?
No to both of those questions. No.
11.2.
I don't want to be on television. If I wanted to be on TV, this is going to sound a little, I don't know, arrogant. If I really wanted to be on TV, I'd be on TV.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could. You could be on TV, buddy.
Well, I'm good looking. Let's start there.
Yeah, right.
I'm very good looking. I have charisma. I have camera presence, stage presence,
fashion sense.
Great fashion sense. Yeah. I've got it all. The whole package.
You got the walk. You got the walk. When you walk into a room, do you notice how many people turn their heads?
Yes, I've always.
Man's a presence.
Always noticed that. The room
you
goes quiet.
You just control the room. When I come walking into a place with you, I just kind of lower my head. I'm like, all right, this is Frank's gig.
I'll tell you why I say if I wanted to be on TV, I'd be on TV. I've been offered about 3 times opportunities to be on TV in St. Louis, and I turned them all down because, one, local radio stinks. I mean, local TV. Well, local radio does too, but local TV is horrendous. Outside the news, it is laughable, and there's no budget because you can't charge at local rates enough to do a really great, really great production. And I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be on, I don't know. There have been a couple of runs. For a while, they were doing a thing at when it was Harrah's. Remember, and it was a late night talent show.
Oh, yes.
And when they get a shot of the audience, there were like 8 people.
It was on like at 11:30 on Channel 4.
Oh, my goodness. It was just, or the guys that host the
Lucky
line.
Break.
Wait a minute.
Was that it? Lucky Break?
I think so.
Or the guys that host the line dancing show on Saturday nights at Channel 4. You know, I kind of like watching people, country music and dancing, but you don't need a host. And so I said no. Now, if I'd ever had an opportunity to do something bigger, I probably would have gone after it. Whether I would have gotten it or not, I don't know.
Do you remember when I did the Variety Club telethon?
Dan, we'll never forget it.
That was like 2 or 3 in the morning?
We will never forget it. Dan's been on TV.
Oh, my goodness.
And by the way, John, that was when your dad was, he was the man when it came to Variety Club.
I think I remember my dad talking about you, Dan.
Well, if he did, here's what he said. We had a young man on who said he was a stand-up comic. Make a note to never, ever bring him back. That's probably, it was so funny because it was so embarrassing.
Oh, my goodness. It was horrible because there were like 3 people in the audience.
Well, look, it's 2 a.m, and they need the 24-hour they need to go around the clock. So they'll just take anybody. You'll go on at 3 a.m, we'll take you.
And I watched Joe Marlatti, who is a professional comedian and does this all the time. He was on right before me, and I watched him just die a slow, agonizing death, and I'm thinking, oh, man.
Dan, do you remember one single joke you told?
No, I don't.
That's too bad.
Oh, that was so long ago. I just asked Dan a little while ago, I said, what time did you wake up this morning? Because he goes, his first comment to me was, he goes, I almost forgot. I didn't know it was Thursday.
I forgot it was Thursday.
I do that every day.
How can you just now realize, I love you, but how can you just now realize, oh, wow, by the way, it's Thursday.
John, at least 3 dozen times when I close the show and I go, have a great Thursday evening, everybody. SP on. I'll go, have a great, and I can't remember what day it is.
I'll say the wrong day.
I don't know, maybe a calendar or somewhere.
What?
I've been in the studio before, and it is a sense of just total hilarious chaos, and that's what makes it great.
Since you said that, when's the last time you saw a calendar hanging up anywhere?
Yeah.
Everybody used to have a calendar. Nobody has a calendar. You don't need it. Your phone has a calendar.
Hey,
you still need to have a calendar that you make adjustments to, even though everything's in your phone. Yeah, it's right there.
A quick word of advice to the real estate agents and insurance people who still, every year, send people that little pocket calendar with little pages on it.
Oh, my goodness.
Stop sending those. We throw them in the trash.
They send a magnet.
But
they tie it in with, the blues schedule, which I don't know if they should maybe send too many of those blues schedules out next year. I don't see that team coming out with a whole lot of fire.
Rams.
And you know the agent that sends it is 80 years old because they still think that's what you do is every Christmas or birthday, happy birthday, here's a little calendar to put on your refrigerator.
We had this agent that was showing us a home way back in the mid-'80s. Would have been 1990, and the guy had just a really bad toupee. Older guy, just sweet as a peach. But every 10 minutes, he'd grab a little bit of the left side, a little bit of the right side, and he'd tug that thing back down.
Make sure it was secure.
And once I brought it to Mimi's attention, she couldn't look at him any longer. Was he showing us?
John, I want to say right now, in my life, I've never referred to another guy and said he was sweet as a peach. Ever, I don't believe.
Yeah.
Al, Frank, you know, you're different.
I think that's different.
Hey, this is to both.
I'll tell you, he was
sweet as a peach.
Yes, I can talk about the real estate. They're out of business, Blake and Davis, and they had the listing on the house at 48 Granada Way that we bought. But I had to wait for, I think it was Laura McCarthy, to get the listing because they had a house that was on the market for 9 months, and it was a corporate restructure. So the family, the corporation, paid this, restructure and put this family in over in New York. So it's sitting there forever and ever and ever. So I went in and made him an offer, and the manager of the office wouldn't even come in the closing office and consider my offer. I'm like, you've got to accept my offer. Now, you go through the works, and if you want to call me in a day or two, tell me that you're not going to accept it. But we ended up buying the house. But the older fella that was the agent for Blake and Davis back then that showed us the house a couple of times, he was sweet as a peach.
Sweet as a peach.
He likes to say that.
He did.
Hey, Mark on line one
bought
a car at Johnny Wandoff Chevrolet on Saturday,
and
he just wanted to come on. He was trying to call before.
Let's bring him on here.
Hey, he's on line one.
I dropped John. Oh, man. You know what?
Oh, no. John?
Boy, that was me.
And we dropped Mark.
That's on me. I lost them both. Hang on. Mark? Oh, good grief. This is ridiculous. Hang on. Mark, are you there? No. I messed this whole thing up. I lost both
Mark
people. This was on me. I lost both. You know why? This 45-year-old phone panel. No,
hey,
I can't blame it on that. I lost him. John, I lost him. I'm sorry. He'll call. There he is.
I'm back on the air, Frank. I mean, if you don't want to talk to me, you can say hey, like you always do.
Listen, when you have two people on the same panel, you have to do top row for one person, bottom row for the other. Is this Mark?
Yes.
All right, now I'll do it the right way. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm sorry about that. Hey, when did you buy your vehicle, and what did you buy?
I bought a Chevy Spark off of Johnny Wandoff.
And say hi to John, because he's on with you right now. John, Mark. Mark, John.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm great, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. I don't know if you have time for the story of how I was a nightmare or not. Do you, Frank?
John does. He loves stories about people who buy cars from him. And yes, we do. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, Frank, I appreciate you. I value and respect your opinion a lot. I did one thing that you suggested to one of your sponsors. It didn't work out, but that wasn't their fault. And then because I still respect you, I went to Johnny Wandoff, even though I was going to go someplace else.
And by the way, you sent me an email, right? Because I think I remember.
I did not. I don't have email.
Okay. I thought you did. Go ahead.
And so you advertised those cars for Johnny Wandoff, those Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, maybe I have $13,000. Maybe I can work something out with Johnny Wandoff and get it for $13,000, okay? So I go in there, and they work it out for $13,000. I take the car home on Saturday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I drive that car home Saturday, and I don't feel comfortable, okay? And then there's something else that needs to be done to it, so I call Monday and talk to Mike Rule and tell him what's going on. He says, bring it in, we'll give you a loaner car. So I bring it in, and they give me the loaner car, and the lady at the loaner car tells me that they're going to get this car out of here after another 100 or so miles and put it on a used car sale lot. So I drive that car home, which happens to be a cruise.
Mm-hmm.
okay? I felt a lot safer in that cruise. The Spark is a real small car. Have you ever been in it, Frank?
I've driven it. It's a real small car.
Yeah, it's a real small car. And I did not feel really safe in that.
Now, are you a big man? How big are you?
No, I am not. I'm a small man. I'm only 160 pounds.
Wow, okay. Well, go on. Finish the story.
So I bring the loaner car back, and I say, look, I want this loaner car. I know it's going up. I said, I don't like the Spark. Well, they've already registered Spark, and they already done all that, and I only have $13,000, okay?
Right.
And Johnny Jr., the third, comes in, and he says, well, that car is worth this amount, okay? And I said, well, I'm not too certain it's worth that amount because it's a 2014, and it's got 3,000 miles on it. And then he leaves, and then they go and they talk somewhere, and then they hook me up with a guy named Mike Price.
Mm-hmm. I know who he is. John, you know who that is.
Mike Price. Yeah. Price is Right.
Yeah. That's right. Price is Right.
So anyway, they've told me that there's no way that they can give me the car for basically the same amount, okay?
Now,
I say, look, I can come up with another $1,000, okay?
Mark, you know we have to be off the air at 6 o'clock.
I'm almost done.
Okay.
So anyway, the point of the matter is that they worked it out, so I got the car that a cruise, same kind of cruise I had,
right,
for $15,000. No more than I paid for that car. Okay?
You were scaring me there for a minute. I thought we were going to have a horror story.
No, they did not. Well, I'm the horror customer because I made all this work for them to do, and they made it possible for me to get a car that I felt comfortable with in. That means they may have gotten less than they wanted, but they made sure I got what I felt comfortable in. They took care of me. They didn't say no way. They didn't necessarily argue. They tried to find a way to make me leave their dealership
happy,
satisfied, and happy.
Mark, don't take this the wrong way, but I'll bet you could be a nightmare.
Yeah.
If you wanted to be.
Probably.
John, that story, that's a good story. It deserves a round of applause. That's a good story.
Thank you, Mark.
So, Mark, thank you, Mark.
I'm glad you saved his business.
Well, we did. Listen, hey, enjoy.
Come on, Mark. Now we're crossing the line, buddy.
Mark, right? Enjoy that cruise, okay?
I will.
All right, thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
He scared me. I thought he was going to take us somewhere where I'll never go. No, it worked out just the way we wanted it to work out. So, there's your commercial right there.
That's a great story. It's a great deal, and a lot of communication. And he's a good guy. Good guy. Not just because he said that, but that's why you take care of people, and that's why the AM and the PM customers and listeners. That's why they get a great deal here at Johnny Law Dodge Chevrolet. Because there's awesome people. Just got a text message from Mike Brokowski, one of our top salesmen who's in Colorado for a week. He's listening to us on the air, and he said, yes, that I am sweet as a peach. All right, so there you go.
Oh,
there's a grown man that is saying sweet as a peach is okay, Frank.
He's saying it to his boss that it's okay to say.
We've been together for 10 years now. We're like, you know, partners. It's not a boss.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Nobody here has a boss. We're all teammates, Frank.
Okay. Sure.
I know. I hear how you treat Dan and Ian.
I treat him well.
Happen here at Lawndorf Chevrolet. Okay, I treat all of my people with the utmost respect. A lot of love here at Lawndorf Chevrolet. It's called Lawndorf Love.
Well, it seems
he treats
to be
us sweet as a peach.
It seems to be working.
Dan, what day is it?
Thursday.
314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. We will be here until 6:30, 7 o'clock, as late as your great listeners want to keep us. All day and all night long, tomorrow night, and, of course, big Saturday. So Lawndorf.com is a great place to get things started. And then, please, if you ever need me, I'm at Lawndorf, JR, at Lawndorf.com.
All right, John, we are going to make your weekend. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Frank.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
John Lawndorf, you know where he is, Washington, Elizabeth. Can I read an email? I got a great email. I only check email once a day, sometimes twice. And I know a lot of people are always right there. If you email them, boom, you get a response back. But I went to check it this morning. Let me read you. This is the kind of email that keeps me going. Frank, my wife and I had our first visit to Ballast Dental Care this morning. Now, this is June 4th. My goodness, this is today. So they actually were there this morning. My wife and I, because I checked mail late, like 11:30, we had our first visit to Ballast Dental Care this morning. We decided to change dentists after all these years of hearing you talk about Ballast Dental Care. I can honestly say this is, now listen to this, unsolicited. I can honestly say this is the most thorough cleaning my teeth have had in all of my years of going to the dentist.
Whoa.
Whoa.
And this is the first time my mouth wasn't sore from the cleaning. A couple of problems were found. Dr. Watanabe explained what I should do, and he didn't do the let's do this right now thing. My wife had the same pleasurable experience with the cleaning and not being sore. We just wanted to tell you we are sorry that we didn't change dentists sooner. An apology for not changing sooner. Tim, what a great email. Welcome to Ballast Dental Care, and thank you for letting me know. I love feedback. Feedback is great. And there you have it. Corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads. I've been going there 42 years, long before they went on the air. They knew what I did for a living. But for whatever reason, I'd been going there 25 years before they decided to come on. I'm glad they did. And hundreds of you, hundreds of you now have a new dental home, and it's Ballast Dental Care. Corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com.
Meet me.
All right, let's see how the highways look right now. Here's Frank Ladd in for Tim Weiland.
Thanks, Dan. Working with a couple pockets of volume westbound on 64, passing Forest Park, out through about Hampton, McCausland, in that area from Kings Highway. Eastbound Highway 64, seeing volume headed towards downtown St. Louis from about 20th Street. Also a pocket of volume out in the Forestell area, westbound Highway 70, from the about the way station to west of Forestell. Have not gotten a good look at what is going on out there on the camera, but there is definitely a pocket of volume that we were able to look at headed westbound in that stretch of Highway 70. Other than that, it's a good start to your afternoon. This update brought to you by the St. Louis Bread Company. Dear obsessed fans of St. Louis Bread Company's strawberry poppy seed and chicken salad, stop driving by and staring in their windows. The strawberry poppy seed and chicken salad has returned, only at St. Louis Bread Company. From the Golden Oak Clinic Traffic Center, Frank Ladd on the Big 550, KTRS.
Why don't you talk into the microphone?
It only takes a second.
I mean, how often do you get a chance like this?
To get instant updates on scores, guests, news, events, and more, follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
And is our audience going to love it?
But with 1.6 million accidents a year due to distracted driving, it may not be a good idea to do it behind the wheel.
I'm telling you, no animals were actually hurt making this promo.
Go to KTRS.com and join the conversation.
It all seems to be part of some sort of crazy pattern.
On the Big 550, KTRS.
One of the best ways of saving money on your home energy costs is through insulation. Having a house with poor insulation is kind of like taking your money and tossing it into the wind. If your home isn't properly insulated, it's allowing cold air to seep in the winter and the hot air to seep in the summer. But you can save hundreds, even thousands of dollars a year on your energy costs with one call to Aladdin Insulation at 636-947-8000. For over 65 years, Aladdin Insulation has been making homes and commercial buildings more energy efficient. Aladdin Insulation can install spray foam, standard fiberglass, or blown fiberglass, dramatically lowering your energy costs by 20% or more. It even improves sound and noise control. Aladdin also installs gutters and gutter protection. Call them for a free assessment of your home or commercial building at 636-947-8000. That's 636-947-8000. Or see their website at mascocs.com. Start saving on your energy costs now. Call Aladdin Insulation at 636-947-8000.
You turned your furnace off and you're getting ready to turn on your air conditioner. Is it ready for this St. Louis summer? You know, at some point this summer, it's going to be 95 degrees in the shade at 9 o'clock at night. Well, if your air conditioner can't take it and it's not going to make it another year, can I recommend Gelmish & Sons? My friends at Gelmish & Sons have teamed up with Lennox to install a brand new energy-saving system for you for a price of $2,895. That's right, a full heating and cooling Lennox system installed in your home for less than $3,000. Call Gelmish & Sons today for your free estimate. Big Red Trucks, Mike Shannon approved. Gelmish & Sons has been in the business since 1950. The family business of heating and cooling. Gelmish & Sons, 314-993-1110. That's 314-993-1110 or GelmishAndSons.com. It's that family you trust since 1950. For a full Lennox system, $2,895, Gelmish & Sons or GelmishAndSons.com.
Hi, folks. This is John Shane, Mr. Fix-It. If you're like the rest of us, you got junk all over the house. I want to help you get rid of some of that clutter around the house. You know you've been wanting to, but just haven't had the time, energy, or muscles to get it done. Well, you need to call the helpful people at Pitch It and Forget It at 314-932-1100. Pitch and Forget It is a residential commercial junk removal company. Their professional staff will come to your house at a scheduled time and remove the items no longer wanted, freeing up valuable space. Pitch and Forget It will remove old TVs, appliances, home remodeling waste, rugs, old couches, furniture from your attic, basement, garage, or anywhere in the house, and you don't have to lift a finger. Pitch and Forget It will even clean up after themselves. They're eco-friendly, recycling most items, so call Pitch It and Forget It at 314-932-1100. That's 314-932-1100, or visit their website at pitchit.us. That's pitchit.us. Don't forget, call Pitch It and Forget It, 314-932-1100.
Hey, it's John Carney for Stewart's American Mortgage Corp. You know, we talk about him all the time. Stewie, the guy with the great hot dogs at the ballpark, too. But now we're going to talk about money. I don't want to scare you, but interest rates are on the verge of going higher. A lot of you have already made the call to 314-324-4440 and started realizing savings immediately. So thank you. Actually, thank me, because I'm the one that told you. Those that haven't made that call, do it now. Again, let me stress, this costs you nothing. The bagel loan, no closing costs, no cost to you. Time spent on the phone is it. And realizing savings on your mortgage or a refi could happen for you right now. There is no reason to wait any longer. Stewart's American Mortgage Corp. Online at stewartsamc.com or pick up the phone and call him now. He doesn't bite. 314-324-4440.
American Mortgage Corporation, number 226715. NMLS, number 2675-6799.
St. Louis is our home. It's in our history and in our name. We have always served the people of St. Louis, and we always will, because our hearts are here, and yours are too. We are the people of St. Louis University Hospital, and this is our city. And we will always be here to heal hearts, because you are special, and we are specialists. St. Louis University Hospital. For more, visit SLUSpecialists.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bob Hartcastle, asking you to listen to my Money Talk radio program every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on KTRS, the Big 550, where we discuss your money in an easy-to-understand manner. We'll have interesting guests chat about money, the current marketplace, and the wonderful world of investing. Also, listen for my Money Market Wrap-Ups Monday through Friday on the Big 550 a.m. at 4 p.m. That's the Big 550 KTRS at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Travel back in time with Circus Flora's all-new Big Top Show. Experience this St. Louis summertime tradition May 28th through June 28th. Visit circusflora.org for tickets.
You're running your business, and we at Wix.com know things can get stressful. But creating your website doesn't have to be. With Wix, you can create a professional website all by yourself. It's easy and free. You don't have to be a programmer. Just drag and drop everything into place. It's your website, your style. Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your own stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Traveling to an old friend or coworker? There's a Choice Hotel nearby. And earn rewards for your stays when you join the Choice Privileges program. Visit ChoiceHotels.com for reservations and details.
Ain't no mountain high enough. When I hear this song and several other songs that were in the documentary I'm about to mention, and Pian and I have this in common, we love documentaries. I've mentioned it before. If you ever get a chance, Standing in the Shadows of Motown, one of those documentaries that most people never heard of. And a friend of mine said, have you ever seen it? I said, no, he actually bought a copy and gave it to me. He said, it's worth $10 just to see your reaction. I took that thing home. I've watched it five times. And essentially, it's about the Funk Brothers, the guys that were the studio musicians on over 100 of Motown's biggest hits. It's the most fascinating story of people you never heard of, but songs they played on that without them, the songs wouldn't have been what they were. A good example, the guy who played the guitar, and Dan, what do you call it when there's an opening? Heard through the grapevine. What do you call that?
Nothing, just the bass line.
Well, there's a word for it, not the hook, but
an intro, maybe.
How famous is and one of his fellow musicians was at lunch with him one day in a diner, And they're playing, and it came on. And the waitress came over, and he said, "Hear that?" He said, "My buddy here. My buddy, that's my buddy playing on that guy." And it embarrassed his friend. His friend was very much, he said, "She didn't believe you." He says, "Nobody cared." And that's sort of what the story is about, is that these guys were just kind of minimal. They were paid the minimum studio. And they made these songs. I mean, these songs, it's their sound. It wasn't the singers. Because in the documentary, they redo them, and they have a concert and bring the guys back, the ones that are still alive. And the songs are every bit as good with different singers as they were originally, because it's the music.
And what is the name of that band, that group? They had a name, right?
The Funk Brothers.
Yeah, the Funk Brothers. Yeah.
They're just called the Funk Brothers. Standing in the Shadows of Motown is the documentary. We only have a couple minutes, so here's the deal. After the news, come on, we need a talent show contestant, and we'll get them. But don't wait too late, because our time is cut in half, because Colin Jeffrey's coming in here at, what, 4:30?
Whenever you
around
want
4:30,
him to come
4:30,
in.
4:35, he'll be in. And he'll do an entertainment report. So after the news, we got about a 20-minute window, so we need some talent to keep this thing going. Oh, man. If we have time later, we'll talk a little bit about the Duggars. This is the family with 19 kids. I was thinking they had 20 kids, but it's 19. And they've done an interview, and it's, I don't know. I don't like to criticize too much people because of their religion or their faith or whatever. But, boy, Peon was telling me some things about whatever this faith is, the church they go to. If we have time, he'll read you some of their beliefs. It is really out there. I mean, it is way out there. And I don't know how people extract this kind of thinking from the Bible, but that's what they claim. That's where they claim it all comes from. Mark Rudin and Jason Becker, financial advisors. You have some money that you don't have to spend that you can put away. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? You're going to ask a friend, "Hey, what was that stock you bought?" What are you going to take the advice of your father-in-law? And even if somebody is wealthy, let's say you have a wealthy father-in-law, you go, "What do I do?" His life and your life aren't the same lives. The goals aren't the same. Circumstances aren't the same. Income isn't the same. What was good for him isn't necessarily good for you. You need somebody to get with you and meet with you and take a look at you. You. And you're $25,000 or more. And that's what Mark and Jason will do. Mark Reardon, Jason Becker, Stiefel Nicholas. If you have $25,000 or more to invest, or that's already invested, get their take on what would be the best thing to do with the money. If you don't like it, like what they have to say, then don't meet with them again. You know where to find them, because you hear it every day. It's their website, Mark and Jason.